Every Advent, Lord, you make us read these words from that strange man who dressed funny and lived out in the desert. I want to be able to say just one year to myself and the people, rejoice, deck your halls with boughs of holly, fa-la-la-la. But instead, the message every year is,
repent, Messiah is coming, repent.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
Now you see, Lord, that's exactly what I mean. Nobody wants to hear that during this Christmas season. Isn't there a better way to go about this? A more joyous message? Isn't there another way to Bethlehem?
No, this way to Bethlehem.
But that's through the wilderness.
That's right. No way to Bethlehem, but through the wilderness.
But we've got to go to the shops, Lord. Don't we? We've got to go to the shops. We're not ready for Christmas. Lots of presents to buy. Things to do, you know.
Well, on the way to the shops, drop by the wilderness for a visit. There's a man there you need to meet. He can prepare you for Christmas.
You mean that jolly old man with a white beard and wearing a red suit?
Not exactly. You'll probably smell something like a camel first. Then you'll know he's near, although you'll probably hear him long before you see him. He's a fiery preacher named John the Baptist.
But Lord, we really don't have time for a sermon, do we? We just got too much to do. Besides, I'm a preacher myself. If we want to hear a boring sermon, I can always preach one of mine.
Well, you've got a point there.
Hey, just a minute there.
But you'll not find this man boring. In fact, he'll probably make you angry. Maybe he'll make you think. Just maybe he'll help you. All of you experience Christmas this year in a way you haven't for a while.
Okay, I surrender. I'll go to Bethlehem this year through the wilderness. But they have to go with me. And if we don't get all our shopping done, well, we're blaming you. We should give thanks to Bass Mitchell for this Advent sketch. This wilderness is really something. I was expecting forest, lakes, that kind of thing. But this isn't a wilderness. This is a desert. It's hot. I don't see a tree in sight, just some scrawny shrubs. How did I let God talk me into this? Oh, that temperature-controlled overgate would be good right now. I see something. A river. You see it? Well, I wouldn't call it a river. More like a muddy stream. And there are people. Lots of people standing on the bank. More are coming. Why in the world would so many people be out here? God must have got to them too. Do you smell something? Is that a camel? Ooh, that smells bad. Look, look. Wonder who that is. He's wearing some kind of strange fur coat and a belt round his waist. Looks like weird sandals on his feet. I saw people looking like that back in the 60s. His hair is as black as a raven. Well, not quite. There's fire in his eyes and in his voice.
Prepare the way of the Lord. Make the path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and every hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God.
He's the one. He's the one.
The one what?
Elijah.
The Old Testament prophet. Isn't he dead?
Yes. But you must know that our scriptures tell us that Elijah will return to prepare for the coming of Messiah. Every year at Passover, every family sets an extra place at their table in the hopes that the forerunner, Elijah, the preparer of the way, will return. Now he has.
What's he eating?
Honey and locusts.
Honey and what?
Locusts, you know, like grasshoppers. The desert's full of them.
I wish I thought to pack my lunch. I don't suppose there's a McDonald's close by, is there?
A what?
Oh, nothing. Forget it. What was he talking about just now?
He's quoting another great prophet, Isaiah, who describes John's purpose and mission. John is Elijah, the preparer of the way for Messiah. This is so exciting.
But what does he mean by make the path straight, fill the valleys?
Well, you see, we have a custom. When it's announced that a great king is coming to our village, all the people go out onto the road leading into the village and begin removing the rocks and filling the potholes and leveling the ground, giving the king a clear path into their town.
So he's telling everyone to go and clean up the roads?
Not exactly. You're not from round here, are you? And you haven't been to the wilderness for a while either?
Well, no. I've been kind of busy, you know, with Christmas coming and everything.
Christmas?
Never mind. You were talking about cleaning up the road.
John's not really talking about roads. He's not telling us to mend the paths to our villages, but to mend our hearts. For the king is coming. Messiah's on his way. Whatever we might have in our lives that would keep him from coming in must be uprooted, rolled aside. Nothing must be in Messiah's way.
But how are you supposed to do that?
Repent. Turn away from your sins, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent.
Repent? I know that word. I've used it a few times and even experienced it a time or two.
Repent is a very special word in our language. It means so much more than to feel sorrow for your sins. Repentance is feeling such great sorrow that you turn from your sins. You change the way you live. It's like you're walking in one direction and then suddenly you just turn and go in the opposite direction. Repentance is turning from self toward God, from the old life to a new life. Do you understand?
I think so. But to repent means that you see yourself as a sinner. Isn't that right? Well, you don't look like a sinner to me. You seem to know your Bible. And me, well, I help people all the time. I pray, I read the Bible, I teach.
So you don't really think of yourself as a sinner then?
Well, no. I try to be a good person. And all these folk are good, church going, giving people too, aren't you?
You brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God's able from these stones here to raise up children to Abraham.
What does he mean? Who's he talking about?
Good, synagogue attending, tithing, law-abiding people. See them over there? All dressed in their fine Sabbath robes. We call them Sadducees and Pharisees. They're quite religious, and they don't let you forget it.
Well, if you ask me, John could use a few lessons in how to win friends and influence people. He just called your religious leaders a brood of vipers. And I don't think it was a compliment. I mean, if I preached like that, I'd be sent to the wilderness too. What did he mean by that brood of viper stuff anyway?
You really haven't been to the wilderness in a while, have you? You see, it's really dry here. Sometimes we have brush fires and you can see whole nests of snakes scurrying out from under the bushes, trying to escape. The religious readers remind John of the snakes, evil, cunning, and poisonous, fleeing the fiery judgment that God is sending. They're not fooling God, only themselves, for God sees their hearts and their actions.
What did John mean by telling them to stop calling themselves the children of Abraham? That really seemed to upset them.
Well, they don't consider themselves sinners, so why should they repent? They take great pride in seeing themselves as the children of Abraham. Father Abraham, you see, received great blessings and promises from God, in which they feel that they too share. You might say that Abraham had built up such a treasure of merit with God that his descendants could draw upon it for themselves. And so they believe that simply because they're descendants, they're children of Abraham, and not for any merits of their own, that they're safe from God's judgment.
So, what's John really saying to me? I mean, to them.
Well, he's saying, if you want to truly repent, stop saying, Abraham is our father. Stop saying, my family's always been a member of this church. I tithe. You're not indispensable to God. God could take stones from this riverbed and make them better of children of Abraham than you are. God's not interested in your roots. God's interested in your fruits. Yeah, not your roots, your fruits. So stop trying to hide your sins. Be honest with yourself and with God for a change. Face the truth. Repent and live a life that shows that you really mean it. It's the only way to be ready for Messiah's coming.
But I'm not exactly sure how to do that.
Look, John might be about to tell you how. See them? Those are tax collectors. Nobody likes them. They're like traitors. They want to know what they can do, how they can repent.
Don't collect more than is legal.
Now look at that bunch. Roman soldiers. Our people hate them. They lie and they cheat and they steal. But listen to what John says to them.
Don't take money from anyone by force or accuse them falsely. Be content with your pay.
Well, if they can be forgiven, anyone can. So you see, there are some things we can do. Those tax collectors and soldiers know exactly what they can do. And if you think about it, so do you. So do I. I know there are things in my life that I need to repent of, to turn away from, so that I can be closer to God, more prepared for God's Messiah. Each of us must look in our own hearts and remove what obstacles we can.
I believe I'm beginning to understand. John's telling us, if you really want to get to Bethlehem this year, you've got to come to the wilderness. Spend some time looking inside yourself. See your life as a path and identify any obstacles, any roadblocks that would keep the Christ from coming more fully into your life. Then through repentance, remove it. Turn away from it and towards God. Is that right?
That's right.
But that's easier said than done sometimes. I mean, I know some people, lots of people with obstacles and problems, they can't move by themselves. We don't have control over lots of things, you know.
You're right. There are some boulders so large we can't remove them on our own. But we don't have to. All we can do is turn them over to God. Ask for God's help and trust that somehow in God's own time and way, God will remove them, or at least not let them keep us from experiencing the joy and blessings that Messiah brings. And we can help by praying for them, listening and caring. Remember, with a little faith in God and good friends, even mountains can be moved.
You know, you've given me a lot to think about. I believe if someone asks me if I'm ready for Christmas this year, that I can actually say I think I am, or at least well on my way to being ready. And I haven't even been to the shops, just the wilderness.
There's hope for you yet. Perhaps you should come out to the wilderness more often. It really is the only way to Bethlehem, you know.
Yes, now I know.
So all of you must get ready. There's one coming after me who is so much greater than I am. I'm not worthy even to untie his sandals. He will fill you with the very presence of God, but you must get ready. Turn from your sin. Turn to God. Repent. Messiah is coming. Repent. Oh, and Merry Christmas.